Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
Nick, it's why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again! Say what again! I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not?
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 79. Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack, Trill Bollins. Trill is currently getting up off his floor. He just smelled his carpet in his new home.
It doesn't smell right in here. I don't like these lived-in houses.
It's got that Bedissi smell. The stench.
Yeah. I feel like I deserve a document of all the times like someone else's dog has shat on the carpet or something. I just need to rip the carpet up because 2018, we shouldn't have carpet. I hate carpet. Are you guys a fan of carpet?
Fuck carpet.
Yeah. Why? I don't get carpet. I personally don't get it because why not just throw down some of that cheap, like 20 cent per square foot laminate they sell at Home Depot? Carpet's exactly. Got to be more expensive than that.
I like carpet in a bedroom. I don't like waking up and putting my feet on some.
No, wood. I love that, dude. I love that cold, refreshing wood. Wakes you up in the morning.
Yep.
Just get a rug. The problem is if you like carpet, just get hardwood and get a rug. You get the experience. It's like putting on a sweatshirt.
Yeah, a nice Persian.
Ooh.
There's like an area near where the Barstool office, which is like Rug Alley. So like, there's just like four streets that are just nothing but rug retailers. And like, I don't know what the returns are on those places. I can't imagine a lot of places are going into a store with the express idea of like purchasing a rug very often.
One of
rugs,
rugs, go ahead, Jeff. Rug shopping. No, one. I'm saying not just a lot of rug stores. The area that we work in is like Perfume Alley. There are no less than 20 fragrance stores that sell perfume and cologne in our 2-block radius around the office. It's one of the weirdest places in New York where we work. It's very strange for Manhattan.
Have you guys ever been to a Fry's Electronics?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fry's, sure. They have like a perfume section in Fry's Electronics.
See, that really? I didn't know that.
Wait, what was that other place? FYE? Was that it?
No, it's FYE completely was different.
That was, no. I'm saying like, have you, those, that's, is that the name of that place? A different place? But
Yeah
like place. For Your Entertainment. But that was from the lineage. I think like it used to be Sam Goody. But Sam Goody was like one of the old stores, and then there was another one, and they merged and became like FYE, and then they got put out of business by the music industry no longer selling actual
like CDs and stuff.
CDs. Now GameStop's going that way too. Have you been in a GameStop lately? Like half the store's video games and the other half is like pop figurines.
Yeah, they're trying to sell those the tangible merch and not just the games because people are just buying the game codes off like whatever their console is. I will say at FYE, I went there once ever in like a big mall in I think like Roslyn, New York, and the only thing I wanted to buy was an Indiana Jones like poster because it looked cool when I was there when I was browsing. And I got it and I went home and it was like a Bruce Almighty poster. And that was a big, a huge bummer. Like it had that's the label on it. Like, you know, they say like F5 or whatever, the label of what it is. It said F5 and it was just not even close to the right poster.
That's like, you know, if you're not going to get Indiana Jones, at least open up like an Air Force One poster. Like they mislabeled the Harrison Ford. Yeah. But Bruce Almighty is such a major step down.
Anything more deceptively expensive and disappointing to buy than rugs? You look at a rug, it's like $600 for a rug. I don't have rug money.
That's true. There, cereal?
There is a cereal is pretty expensive. There's a rug store in Connecticut called Kawood Oriental Rugs, and they had very famous commercials. This is just for our New England listeners, but it's these two, this father and son, and they it's Abe Kawood and Maurice Kawood, and they sell rugs. And at the end of the commercial, it's their like ginger son comes on, and he goes, and don't forget to find me 10% Charlie. And he points to himself, and he's like, come on down. And there's just a war in New England between Kawood Oriental Rugs and Bob's Discount Furniture, which is like, I mean, Bob's Discount Furniture is on another level of corniness. It's like one of, I mean, I love Bob, but Bob himself is a corny fella. He's also out in Los Angeles now. I didn't know that Bob's Discount Furniture moved to L.A., but it's a fact. They did. Great candy in those places.
Candy?
Yeah.
Like Bass Pro Shops? Bass Pro Shops got good candy in it.
They have a thing called Penny Candy at Bob's Discount Furniture, and you go in, there's a whole section of like warm cookies and candy while you shop for furniture. There's another Bob's with like a mini golf course inside. It's crazy.
Whoa.
It's, I mean, Bob goes coast to coast. He's the man. What else? Rugs, fragrance. Oh, if you're listening on September 6, 2018, this is officially 1 year since our first podcast. How about that?
Hell yeah.
We've been doing this for 365 days. We released it on September. We actually released it very late at night on September 5th, but it didn't go through the system until September 6th. So technically our birthday. So it's like we went into labor on the 5th, but it didn't actually happen until the 6th, basically. That's a real world way of describing it. But we talked about the Emoji Movie 1 year ago, September 6th, 2017.
Damn.
And now we've progressed, and tonight we're going to talk about a comedy movie where a kid gets his penis chopped off. So, well, just I think back on to the up and up.
Major stuff that hadn't happened in my life at that point this time last year. Like the first and foremost that I can think of is I hadn't played Destiny 2 yet.
Yeah. That's a big deal.
And then I had a kid.
I mean, think about this for a second. Since the last podcast, Ken, Jack, and I both quit our full-time jobs. You had a child. You also moved cross-country, as we learned, literally last day. That was a buzzer beater for you. You almost didn't get that in the year since the first podcast. And we also discovered Fortnite. Like, when we first started this podcast, we'd never played Fortnite. That's almost the craziest thing to me. Because I feel like, for some reason, I feel like you've almost had your kids since we first started podcasting. Because, like, we talked about it for a while, at least off pod. But, and, like, I feel like I didn't have my job when we first started. But Fortnite, like that for some reason makes it seem so long ago. I don't know why. It makes it seem even crazier.
Fortnite's been with us forever.
Yeah.
Like, it's always been with us.
And it was only January or whatever when we started playing it a ton. And yeah, it feels like literally since last summer we've been playing it.
Yeah. Wild.
Yeah, remember Dusty Depot? Only true Fortnite heads remember that place.
Oh, you know what true Fortnite heads remember is the original Waiting song, because it wasn't that one song, it was a different song. And then they changed it up on us, and we're all like, what? And now
it was like more mysterious, and now it's all heroic. Remember, yeah, the original one was like very down-tempo and mysterious.
Moisty Meyer. There was some cool stuff back then. I still like Fortnite, though.
You do.
I will say, Fortnite may take the back seat for the Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. Game. No question.
Oh, when's that out? Is that out Friday?
Is it? And it's out very soon because the hype is growing. Our good buddy, Mr. Sunday Movies, reviewed it, said he really liked it, I think. I forget what he said, but I'm pretty sure he liked it.
That's got to be out tomorrow or Friday. Came out this week, September 7th. So that's Friday.
Yeah. It's got to be one of the most hyped comic book video games of all time. I mean, the lead up is huge. People are very pumped. So maybe, you know what, we'll probably get it and we'll probably talk about it. I'm sure we're all going to play it.
Spider-Man is one of those heroes that lends to a good video game too. Like, yeah, especially now that the technology has caught up with what you can do with an open world game. Yeah. I feel like a PS4 Spider-Man is just what we need. So I'm gonna find the PS4 in one of these boxes here. Hopefully it didn't break. And if it did, then Patreon and bio. Collect money for a new PS4.
Get it for the pod birthday. Get Trill a PS4 for the LCB birthday.
No, yeah, I don't need one now. I mean, it could have broken. I mean, wouldn't that be the ultimate gut punch to want to settle down with some Spider-Man, have your PS4 broken?
Look, it's our birthday. If you want to buy us three codes for Spider-Man, I'm not going to say no. So it's our birthday. It's technically our birthday. People celebrate birthdays by receiving gifts.
It's we'll awesome. Send back feet pics in return.
Yep.
Speak for yourself.
Plenty of feet pics.
I can trim my toenails or not. Whatever you want. Just note that once I trim them, I cannot add them back.
Let's get back into movie news. Movie news time. Actually, a fair amount of big movie news. Well, actually, just two pieces of really big movie news. Let's start it out with the new Halloween trailer. Halloween, the sequel to Halloween. It'll be coming out in October 19th, I believe. Trailer was hyped up yesterday and the day before, I believe. It might have been just yesterday. They released a poster. Pretty simple poster. Nothing like too earth shit. I mean, I think they literally just added Jamie Lee Curtis onto the first poster that was released. But the new Halloween trailer, it has an homage to the second Halloween, Halloween 2, which is now no longer canon. Which I'm gonna go over the canon. I wrote a blog on it. I'm gonna go over that real quick at the end of this news hit. But it has an homage to Halloween 2 in the beginning. It's a pretty intense trailer. It's gonna be a lot of Laurie, aka Jamie Lee Curtis's character, battling
intense
Michael Myers.
What was intense about it?
Oh, it was an intense trailer. If you like Halloween movies,
it was garbage. It was a garbage trailer. Nothing looks different about it. They're rebooting a franchise that has 11 installments, and it looks exactly the same like as every single other one made.
I think it looks different. There's different tracking shots. There's different shots. It's not as like the other ones feel very boxy. Now I'm not the Rob Zombie one's different. That doesn't even fucking count. The Rob Zombie Halloween movies. That's just like a different genre of movie. That's slasher to another level. But I think it looks different. I think the other ones look boxy. I mean, I will say this. I thought it was good. I liked it. You obviously didn't like it. Most people fucking love it. People are like
99% of people on the planet are very dumb. I don't know if you know this, but a majority of people on Earth are very stupid.
I'm looking forward to this now. I like the idea of the battle. Like, it's going to be an intense battle between Laurie and Michael Myers. I'm into this. In the same way I'm into the Predator, though. Keep that in mind. In the same schlocky way.
The best way I can describe this is, you know, when you book a hotel room online and you got a picture of your room and you show up to the room and it looks kind of like the picture, but a little bit worse, but it's not that much worse to where you're actually disappointed. You're kind of relieved. It's not that bad. This is what it felt like. It felt like I didn't have high hopes for it. And it looks to be entertaining in the same way the Predator is.
I'm looking for Halloween.
It's not why not. It's more why.
What do you mean why?
You're like, Joe's like, why not? But like, well, give a good reason why there should be a Halloween reboot when there's been 11 sequels and none of them have been good.
Well, because of that. Because the first one is a good movie. And it's about time they
so 12 not times the charm.
No, I mean, it is a different. I mean, it is a different movie.
That's just what McBride and all of them are saying. They're the ones telling us it's different. It could be exactly the same as every other one. No horror director is going to be like, oh,
Sir, are you disparaging the legacy of Halloween H2O?
I am disparaging the hell out of Halloween H2O. I know that's your favorite sequel, right? Though.
I mean, look, there's nothing really original anymore, except for the movies that are original. But they're few and far between.
But I mean, we like non-original movies. I know we rip on them, but like that, it's not going to drive me away because there's other bad versions of Halloween. I mean, and I like the director too. He did Stronger, awesome movie. Pineapple Express, awesome movie. You know what? I'm going to give Danny McBride a chance. It's not a John Carpenter movie. It's much different than the other movies that were made. I can't say originals because the fucking Halloween universe is a complete disaster. But I like the first one. The first Halloween's an awesome slasher/horror movie. So, you know what? Give this one a chance. Hopefully they don't go in any weird direction. I'm not going to be negative about it. Like, you really dislike horror movies.
Yeah, I do, but it's one thing if it's, like, you're trying to do something relatively original. Like, I gave total points to A Quiet Place because they were doing something more new and original, obviously. But if you're just remaking something
being quiet? Yeah, real original with being quiet.
No movie's ever done
literally, this. Yeah, what was that? Literally what we hear from
what was the Stephen
kids,
Lang?
Be quiet.
The Stephen Lang movie that
Stephen Lang was Don't Breathe.
Don't Breathe, right? But it was like it was different. You definitely got points of originality, and it's like a 12th installment or whatever of this franchise. Like, who gives a fuck? I mean, obviously I don't get it.
I'm not gonna judge it based off that though, because there's such different movies. It was people leeching off the brand, and like I know, I mean, it is absurd. It is the 12th one, but I'm not like viewing it. I mean, they're retconning all of those. Those are all irrelevant to this movie. And they never really made people, some people like the second one, like horror fans, but they never really made a good follow-up to the original Halloween. And you know what? If they're going to take a chance on it and put like all the resources into it and not just have like whatever they did that shit with Rob Zombie, then, you know, I'll buy in. Now, if this one stinks, then yeah, fuck the next one.
Has any movie had a good, has any movie had a good 12th installment, you think? Like maybe Bond?
Bond.
Bond was Moonraker. The 12th Bond was Moonraker.
Oh,
so. That wasn't a good one.
Well, Ken Jack, Halloween is technically a Star Trek movie because the legend is that the original Michael Myers mask was based off of a Star Trek William Shatner Captain Kirk mask that was spray painted.
It is the mask.
Yeah, so technically a Star Wars movie.
So you're still wrong on that because you would Star Trek movie.
So actually, here you go.
Got him.
Here you go. Well, I'm going to read off some movies that are the 12th. Okay, The Predator is actually going to be the 12th movie in the
We have to do this head to head then.
That's crazy. That's super weird. A Madea family reunion, a family funeral. That's the 12th one that came out this year, coming out. Friday the 13th. There's 12 Friday the 13th movies. The last one came out in 2009. Not good. Let's see.
There's 12 Predator movies.
The next Shaft movie, Shaft 2019. That's the 12th Shaft.
Damn.
And then everything else is kind of just. There's 12 Muppet movies. Muppet Most Wanted was not very good. That's really it, though. I didn't know there was 12 Madea movies.
That I believe.
Actually, I do believe that now. Now that you say that, hold on. There's 14 Sherlock Holmes movies, 15 Dragon Ball Z movies.
Yeah, I guess that counts.
What else? Let's see. There's 17 Rin Tin Tin movies.
What?
Let's see. Amityville Horror. There's 18 movies based off Amityville. The fuck you say it? That's crazy.
Something about the Amityville Horror House. It's near where I live on Long Island. Been there a few times. Not scary. Not a scary house in the outlook. I mean, I understand some fucked up stuff happened there. Just not a scary house to look at.
I don't even know. Oh, yeah.
Is it a house that somebody owns to this day? Or have they converted it to like a tourist attraction?
I'm gonna send it to the group trail real quick here. It looks like a very quaint Christmas house in this picture that I just sent. Like a nice house you'd spend Christmas at.
If somebody let you live in that house for free for a year and paid all your expenses and gave you money to do it, like a reasonable salary, would you do it?
Yeah,
probably.
You live in the murder house.
Amityville is a really nice town too. Like just functioning wise, it's really nice. Near the water, easy to get to the train and the city. Everything's nice.
I would rather live in it than live next to it. I think living next to it and looking at it, that's creepier. You don't know what's going on inside.
What's that Ricky Gervais travel show with his friend Carl that did?
It's like un-something.
Carl, yeah, that's what he always said.
They I know the people that owned it before, whoever owns it now, they moved out because they basically couldn't leave their house because like every 5 minutes someone would pull up right in front of their driveway just to stop and look at the house. And then drive away, and they like be trying to pull out their house, just go to work, and like they couldn't get out because people were just sitting there staring at their fucking house.
The dad always had to make sure the blinds were closed when he got home early at 4:15 and opened up the yellow and black site we all know and love.
Exactly.
I hate this.
Mommy, there's a ghost jerking off in the window.
So let me get back to Kenjuk. You mentioned it first. There's 12 of these movies.
Honey, that crusty sock was from the apparatus, not me. Sorry. Wait, what was your question?
So there's 12 of these. I'm trying to pull up the actual article.
We're just going to go on for 50 minutes. Just Jeff saying, there's 12. We got 12.
All right. Okay, here we
movies.
Go.
Looking it up.
So the new Halloween is the new official timeline of the Halloween universe. There was Halloween 1978, and the sequel is now Halloween 2018, which is just fucking... I get why they did it, because if they called it Halloween 2, then it's also the second Halloween 2, but at the same time, it's less marketable to not just call it Halloween. So that's what they did. There's another timeline that involves Jamie Lee Curtis's character being dead. It goes Halloween, Halloween 2, Halloween 4, Halloween 5, and Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers, which that one stars Paul Rudd. So Jamie Lee Curtis's character dies between 2 and 4. That's now all irrelevant. All of them but the first is irrelevant. The next timeline, this is the one where Jamie Lee Curtis survives. There's Halloween, Halloween 2, Halloween H20, 20 years later, and then there's Halloween Resurrection. So between 2, so there's like, there's 20 years between 2 and the third installment of this timeline. Jamie Lee Curtis comes back. At the end of that movie, she chops off Michael Myers' head and kills him. In the next movie, it turns out, like, in the 30 seconds that he gets pinned between a car and a tree, he switched his costume out and ran naked into the woods and put his costume on some innocent guy, and she actually killed an innocent person. She dies in the next one. I mean, spoiler alert, but who fucking cares? Then there's the Halloween timeline, the Rob Zombie one, Halloween 2007, and then Halloween 2, 2009. So actually, there are three movies titled Halloween. And that one, Daryl Sabara, you know, the, like, what's his kid's name for Rooney from Spy Kids? What's the kid with the Band-Aids on his fingers?
He's got a little Sanjaya.
Is it? It's not Sanjaya.
I have no idea.
That's the guy who almost won American Idol.
Yeah, I love Sanjaya.
Sanjaya like, Malachi.
This shit's more complicated than the Legend of Zelda timeline.
Somebody replied and said that. So these two are irrelevant. The Rob Zombie just rebooted the franchise. And so Jared Carabas is going to come on when we do Halloween. He's a huge fan. And he actually says he likes these, but most people don't because they humanize Michael Myers. He's a little kid, but he kills the redhead kid from Spy Kids. And then there's a movie called Halloween 3, which has absolutely nothing to do with Halloween. Because after Halloween 2, John Carpenter, the creator, wanted to make an anthology series, and it failed. So there's many timelines. Every movie, all 10 of them between Halloween 1978 and 2018 are now considered irrelevant and canon.
All I hear out of that one is this movie is irrelevant.
Yeah, that was like a three minute anthology proving me right.
I mean, we're proving the other stink. We don't know if this one's going to be good or bad. If it's good, will you admit that it's good?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to go into it if it's good. Stomp my feet like a fucking baby. But I'm saying everything you just said proved my point. Everything I said proved my point. Everything Trill said proved my point. Everything is leading towards this being shit, except for maybe Danny McBride. And speaking of which, the Danny McBride movie I really want to see is Arizona, because that looks funny, even though the reviews are kind of shitty.
We'll see. I completely understand your point. With that said, the thing I'm hanging my hat on is that the first one was very good, and I don't think they've really gone full out. Like, I mean, the second one, that Halloween 2, the original, like, they didn't even have Jamie Lee Curtis have regular hair. She had, like, a fucking stupid wig on. Like, I'm banking on it being a good effort. I could be dead fucking wrong. And you know what? If I am, I'll be right in your corner. No more Halloween movies, because they are going to make apparently another one, but this one has to be successful. So that's Halloween. Let us know what you think. Seems like you all like it, but again, we'll see. Horror movies have let us down before, so it would not shock me if it stinks. I hope it's good, though. Next up, let's shift over to Marvel. The drought of Marvel news, well, for the most, like, big Marvel news is over, because today we got our first look at Captain Marvel, Brie Larson, as the probable savior of the Avengers. Immediate thoughts before we get into other things released, because there was actually a treasure trove of stuff released with this, and a trailer should be coming within the next 2 weeks. I don't know for sure, but whenever Entertainment Weekly, back from when I had my last job, whenever Entertainment Weekly released a new image of a big movie from Disney, we had a trailer release within 2 weeks. So I think the trailer will be coming out very soon, and they're gonna want to get promotion starting soon too, because Avengers 4 trailers are only going to hit like 2 or 3 months from now, which is crazy to think about. But Troy, I'll start it out with you. Captain Marvel, Brie Larson, pretty badass, right?
Looks awesome. Not much else to say there. This is example one why you always got to wait till you get the official set photos to judge a actor or actress in their costume, because she looked like a badass in her costume.
Yeah, that suit looks so good.
Shazam looked better in the actual trailer in his costume. So I've learned my lesson. I'll never judge again. I know people were judging seeing her in some costume in the past, but she looks like a badass. It looks great.
Whose suit do you think looked better relatively? Shazam's or Captain Marvel's? Because I think Captain Marvel's is awesome.
Well, yeah, Captain Marvel's looks like an actual superhero suit. Shazam was just Shazam went from like looking like a toy to looking like a parody superhero. It just looked better in action. So I was drawing parallels just in the sense that the judgment from seeing the still photos to the actual trailer reduced a little bit. Whereas seeing the Captain Marvel still photos to seeing them in the promo photos like looked way better. That's all I was drawing the comparison.
I like the one where she was wearing leather jacket and like the Shield logo hat. That looked badass as hell. She's like, bad. I don't know. Look cool.
With her 9-inch nails t-shirt.
Is that what she's wearing? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Robbie pointed that out, yeah. And then I did some sleuthing. I read on their Wikipedia page that they, at least I thought that 9-inch nails was came to be in 1998. And I'm like, oh, if she has a shirt in, that means that's like not in the 90s. She might be in the 2000s. And then I realized it said 1988. So I didn't tweet that. I looked like a dumb fucking idiot. But what else is in there? So yeah, Troy, you mentioned the costume. The initial suit that we saw on Twitter was a green suit. And that's when everyone was up in arms. We're like, are you kidding me? Where's the Captain Marvel suit? And people were like, just fucking relax. And it turns out she's in the green suit as well in this movie because she's wearing it in one of the pictures they released where she's part of the Star Force, which is an elite military team in space. And they're on a Kree planet. And this is getting deep into Marvel. But if you remember the villain from Guardians of the Galaxy, Ronan, he was a Kree. He is a villain in this movie. He's in the picture of her. Yeah, of her in her Star Force uniform. Also in that picture, Jude Law's character, Mar-Vell. We don't know too much about him yet. And also in that picture is Korath, who was the henchman of Ronan. And he had that like metal thing in his head or whatever. But I believe it was Drax that ripped it out and killed him, right? He was the first person to encounter Peter Quill. He's when he says, what's your name? He goes, Star-Lord. And he's like, who? So he's in this and it looks like he's a good guy. So I'm assuming Ronan takes him over. So we got that. We have the first picture of the Skrulls, which is an alien race and the villain in Captain Marvel. Skrulls are shapeshifters. So there's rumors that Skrulls may have infiltrated Earth and like, they do in the movie, but a Skrull may be one of the Avengers. It's like one of the Avengers has shapeshifted from a Skrull. There's rumors about that. Some people say it could be Hawkeye, but Ben Mendelsohn is playing the leader of the Skrulls. Shocker, Ben Mendelsohn's a villain. Where have we seen that before, besides every movie Ben Mendelsohn's in? And then lastly, we also get Samuel Jackson's Nick Fury, who has been de-aged, looks pretty young, and he has two eyes. So any other thoughts from the big release of Captain Marvel stuff? More excited? Same amount of excited? Wait and see on the trailer? What do we think here?
Do you think they'll do the hot tub time machine thing with Nick Fury and his eye? Is that the whole movie?
That was Crispin Glover, too, our guy.
Yeah, that'd be pretty funny. That's one of the best parts of a hot tub time machine. Is when Rob Corddry's like freaking out about the arm. He goes, oh shit, it's about to happen. It's about to happen. And then it just, it never happens. And they think it's going to happen. It happens when he's waving goodbye. And then speaking of Marvel, do you remember who saves Crispin Glover's arm in that movie?
I don't remember.
No.
Sebastian Stan.
Ah, fuck. That's right. I keep forgetting. I feel like we've revealed this on the pod like 10 times.
We have.
That he was this guy.
Every time I remember, I'm like, oh my God, that's the weirdest
vibe. I forget it every time you tell me. It's so bad. I think it looks awesome, though. Yeah. It's really cool seeing Jude Law get a good hair spot again after Young Pope. His hair's been looking good because like he had like a straight up like full like almost like an isthmus like go of hair going down his like head, and then he keeps making the comeback as the years go by. It looks so good in Young Pope, and now it's like now I think it looks more appropriate to his age. It's like still a little balding, but it's going down a little bit.
The Krees were, I think, the only thing that really got any negative feedback, right? Like some people didn't like the way they looked. They kind of look like the masked stunt double a little bit, like the especially the one on that beach photo that's like to the far right of the frame. It's just blurry enough where you can kind of see it.
People really hate this what the Skrulls look like. I don't really, first of all,
oh yeah, I'm sorry, Skrulls. I said Kree. I apologize.
No, that's all right. I mean, there's Kree and Skrulls. I mean, people don't like them, but I don't know, they don't bother me. They're very practical effect looking. I will say that. It looks like a lot of practical effects there. I mean, they're weird. I don't know. It looks like Marvel fans don't like it, which I'm not a comic book guy, so I don't really know.
Why are they coming out of the water?
It must be where they crash land.
Ah, okay. Just kind of peeking out, seeing if there's a Arby's on the beach somewhere.
Fucking Mendo.
we're going to go to the Hard Rocks Cafe, guys. We're going tonight.
I like it. They sound like Sylvester from Looney Tunes.
That's what the Minnesota sounds like.
Actually, yeah, you're right. I wonder if he's going to change his voice at all.
Like, I don't know. Like accent voice or?
Yeah, I wonder if he's going to have like a different, like a modulated voice, sound more like an alien. Also, he's a shapeshifter, so he's going to probably take on some other form. But that's a pretty good Mendo impression. He's always a fucking bad guy. I feel like, haven't you looked this up, Ken Jack? Did you look up when he was not a villain?
Yeah, so there's a Netflix movie coming out soon where he plays like a deadbeat dad that tries to make good by his kids or something. And that's the first time he's playing a technically good guy. Like, he's like trying to be good. And then he had a stretch of movies before that, like five or six major motion pictures long where he was a bad guy. Like, he played fucking like the guy who tries to kill Moses. Like, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, that is.
Oh, he's perfect in Ready Player One. He was the perfect casting for that movie.
He was.
What was that TV show? That Netflix TV show he was in about the family?
Bloodline. He was so good in Bloodline.
Yeah, he was great in Bloodline. That's where he kind of popped, right? Like, he was kind of known before then, but like after Bloodline, it just like that's when he got the Rogue One gig.
Yeah. Let's see. He was Orson Krennic, Director Krennic, another memorable name from Rogue One. Villain. He was King George in Darkest Hour. He was the
villain. That's a good guy.
Yeah. So that's like a break. But then he was Nolan Sorrento in Ready Player One. He's going to be in Robin Hood, Sheriff of Nottingham. Another villain, tyrant. So, well, he's playing King Henry IV, too, next year.
And he was Viceroy. He was Daggett in Dark Knight Rises, the guy who like helped Bane destroy the city. He's Viceroy Heggep in Exodus, God and Kings, who helps try to kill Moses. Is actually, I guess, is pretty bad. He's in Australia too. The Hugh Jackman, Nicole Kidman movie, where he was also a bad guy.
That was just a labor of love.
That was just
a big villain.
He's an Aussie too, and he never gets to do an Aussie accent, just like our girl Isla Fisher.
Isla will never ever be allowed to do an American or a British accent, or excuse me, Australian accent. Actually, maybe not even a British accent, like something close enough. Always doing.
He was in The Place Beyond the Pines too. I didn't know that. I don't remember that.
Did you like The Place Beyond the Pines?
Yeah, it was very dark. It's good though.
It's a Goss God banger. Is that where Goss God and Eva Mendes first became a thing? I don't know. I know they're in it together.
Dude, Ray Liotta was in Place Beyond the Pines. Is there anyone who looks cooler at maybe a like 63 years of age than a Ray Liotta?
Probably not. He's doing the Tequila 1800 commercials now, right?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been doing that for a while.
Was it a while? I thought it was Christopher Moltisanti that was doing him for a while.
I felt like he first did him like 3 years ago.
Christopher! What? Drinking tequila! That's my personal of the ad.
Why have we never... You know what's one of the biggest mistakes as we celebrate our podcast 1 year? I guess you would have been seen on camera at the Barstool office, but with those sirens that go off by your apartment, we could have pretended you were in like England this entire time. Imagine if just like this big, we just duped everyone and that you just nice picture of Ray Liotta. He's got such a that's fucking actually great
bad visual. I mean, he looks like a badass because he looks like he's like a bad guy.
Yeah.
Why didn't he play Johnny Cash? He should play Johnny Cash. Just make another Johnny Cash movie, have Ray Liotta play him.
Joaquin Phoenix sang. I don't know if Ray Liotta can sing at all. You'd end up with Pierce Brosnan in 2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly how the song would sound. I hate myself today.
I hurt myself today.
That's not what he would sound like, though. Because that was a bad joke.
We've now sang that song. Or sung that song two podcasts in a row. I don't know what you're talking about.
What have I become?
I think you said Ravel was going to sing it.
Oh, yeah. My
skeetest friend.
Tro called him like old man Logan Ravel.
Busting ropes. Okay. I just thought we'd tie the last podcast back.
Let's move on. Two new trailers.
You could have it all.
Instant Family with Mark Wahlberg and Rose Byrne, as well
as pass.
The final trailer for The Nutcracker in the Four Realms. I got two thoughts on these. First off, Instant Family from the makers of Daddy's Home and Daddy's Home 2. Couldn't be less interested. And I like Rose Byrne a lot. Could not be less interested. It's about a family who are two husband and wife want to start a family. They adopt kids and they realize, the description says they realize that they adopted three kids. And it was a lot to
that
take on.
That sounds like a fucking like VHS trailer in an 80s movie. It's like, Jane and John Smith were two fun, loving young adults until they realized they wanted to have a family. Then they realized they got a little more than they could bargain. Instant Family.
I'm Pickle Rick.
Whenever I bomb on here, I'm just going to go, I'm Pickle Rick.
Szechuan sauce or whatever.
Szechuan. I want my Szechuan sauce. Wubba lubba dub dub.
That fucking clip, dude. That never doesn't make me laugh. How fucking stupid it is.
All right, and then the other trailer for Nutcracker. I don't really know much to say about this movie, but I do know that it, like, Nutcracker is a very iconic property, right? Like, I'm not going crazy, right? Like, the Nutcracker is very famous with Christmas.
Yeah, it's very famous, but it's also one of those things that very is very famous and sucks at the same time.
Yeah, I think people just know it for the song, and like that's all they know about the Nutcracker. I don't know anything else about the Nutcracker except the song.
But this is such an irrelevant fucking Disney movie. I don't know. I shouldn't say this. We do get paid by Disney on this podcast, but what the fuck was Disney thinking with this? Like, who cares? I don't think anybody cares. Like, they dropped this trailer, and it's like a fart in the wind. Doesn't mean
you know what this is intended for. Is they're going to release this movie. It's going to be on theaters for a week, but then the resale copies to schools is going to be jacked up to like $2,000 because this would be the perfect fucking movie for a music teacher to show when they're checked out like the 3 weeks before Christmas break. Because I remember watching the Nutcracker in like music class every year in a row in elementary school, and it was fucking awful. That Rat King, that gross, disgusting Rat King, I hated him so much.
Was it the version that's on a stage? I forget.
Yes.
Okay, so that's up there in the top three things I saw most in school. That Amadeus,
yes.
Because my music teacher was fucked up, and then Muzzy. So, yeah, I watched the same one as you without question. No doubt about it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who fucking cares about this. Morgan Freeman's in it. Like, what's the appeal? Do they have other movies? Do they have other movies coming out? Nutcracker.
Crack up with that Donkey Kong picture.
What? All right, well, you have to explain it if you're going to send something on the pod. What is it?
I just sent it. Just look at it.
We got to explain it. Explain it for the audience.
It's a fake Switch game that says Donkey Kong Country, and the subtitle is Diddy Kong Shows His Girlfriend Pro Wrestling, and she's not really into it.
And the art is so funny. That was more interesting than probably the entire movie of the Nutcracker is going to be.
Yeah, like, who cares about the Nutcracker? I mean, maybe some people care, but I'd have to say that generally – this is just not one of the more interesting things to make into a movie in 2018. Here, I'm going to watch a trailer again.
Bust a Nutcracker.
I got him. Just like, who cares? It's like kids go on adventures and shit. Like, whatever. I'd rather watch. I watched the Nutcracker, and then one of the recommended videos underneath that is Handjob Cabin, official HD trailer with 26 million views.
They have other movies too, so it's not like this is a vessel to promote other Disney movies. I mean, they have Ralph Breaks the Internet and then Mary Poppins, which I think they change. Oh no, it's just called Ralph Breaks the Internet. Yeah, we haven't talked about it yet because like I don't typically care, but they released another one and I'm like, does anybody care? It seems no. But what about Instant Family? I'm mostly asking Ken Jack about Instant Family because I know you always have really good Mark Wahlberg takes.
I just don't care. Like at all. Like, especially after I know it's not at all related to the movie, what was it, Downsizing? But like, I just get that same feel, maybe it's just the same sort of name too. I'm just like, and now I just don't want anything to do with it. Now I'm thinking too, what are the recommended movies do you think you would get if you watched the Nutcracker trailer? Like, how to explain to your socialist grandkids that you're racist?
I'm trying to see what other messed up real story behind Anastasia. These are the recommended videos. Top 10 modern Disney characters you didn't know shared a voice. Well, that's real interesting, guys. Top 10 insanely racist moments in Disney movies that you totally... And then the title cuts off because it's so long. Did they find an alive Megalodon in the Mariana Trench?
It's just a part of the movie.
I don't know. Maybe these are all like recommended on my viewing history, so I'm just like self-owning right now.
All right. Well, if you watch it like three more times, you might end up being excited for it. You should probably turn it off. I'm not sure we're going to review that. We may have to review it now that we talked about it. Is it on the schedule? I'll take a look. Anyway, that we got to move on. It's 40 minutes of news. Fun news, though. Let's talk about... We'll move these to next week if we still care. Dave Bautista apparently wants to have a solo Drax movie, even if he's not in it. I think that's a little, little wild. I'm not really sure. I'm not sure Drax can play a whole movie.
Ken Jack, what's a comparison to like somebody you'd find on the internet who's into that?
Who would want to see like a Drax solo movie?
No, like an actor who's like, yeah, I'm totally down for a Drax movie. I wouldn't even have to play it. I could just watch. he's like an actor cuck. He just loves watching other people play his characters.
I'll just sit in the corner. I'll film it. That's it. Oh, he's actually behind the camera. He directs a movie about Drax.
See that chair over there? I got it at Pier 1 Imports. I'll be sitting there. it's wicker. But it's got not, a cushion, so it's not that comfortable, but it's not as bad as it could be.
Jesus Christ.
All right. Michael Bay potentially doing a Thundercats movie still.
A Thundercats live action movie?
Yeah, there's a rumor that that's the movie he's filming. Please, nobody knows for sure. Yeah, it could be a secret movie.
But can James Corden play Snarf in the Thundercats movie too?
Don't even say, because I mean that sounds like something that would happen.
Hello. Snarf.
Maybe we can get a licensing deal with James Corden. It must be nice. Just have shirts that just say hello.
Have Washington on your side,
dude. I don't know.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my.
I don't know anything about Thundercats. The more I'm thinking about it.
Oh yeah, Thundercats. I was into Thundercats, so that's way before your time. Thundercats is like 87, 88. It was like 4 when Thundercats were big.
So it's just like a pre furry for kids in the '80s. It's like an anthropomorphic Catman.
It's like it's training wheels for like Garfield, and Garfield's training wheels for like a fox with a backwards baseball cap.
John Arbuckle. What is
Here's the description. Earlier this year, it was announced that Michael Bay was directing a movie for Netflix titled Six Underground, which is set to star Ryan Reynolds and Dave Franco, among a few other big stars. However, a new report claims that the title Six Underground is actually just a cover-up and that it's a secretly live-action Thundercats movie. I'd be into that, especially on Netflix. I mean, what a great place to launch that. So,
yeah. I'd be into that too, just because I like the Thundercats.
I'd like a He-Man show first, I think.
Well, yeah, we're already gonna get a He-Man guy. We're already gonna Stretch Armstrong movie, so I'm sure that'll be
forgot about that.
Fucking awesome! All right, we got to move on. We got to do an ad read. We got an ad read this week. Let's just run it.
Cyril, would you get the door?
Well, hello, who might you be?
Hi there, I'm James Corden. You know, from Carpool Karaoke.
Oh, do come in. I'll show you over to Mr. Woodcock. After all, this is a parody of the movie Phantom Thread, for those of you who may be confused at this point.
Yes, Mr. Corden. I have a batch of your clothing ready.
Ah, lovely! I'm going golfing with me mates who are executives for 5 different movie studios for random roles in feature movies.
Quite. Well, I've prepared a collection of comfortable polos that don't need to be ironed, sports shirt that have a dress shirt look but a t-shirt feel, lightweight and breathable 5-pocket pants, and moisture-wicking performance shorts. You'll never have to worry about what to wear on any occasion because they'll look good for the course
vacation, work, or even working out. No need to worry about the last one. The one thing I really need is some sort of balaclava because these three weirdos keep holding me down in the street and farting in me bloody face. These are lovely, though. Where are they from?
Peter Millar. In fact, I went to petermillar.com/lights and got free shipping on the whole order.
I'm sorry, could you say that again? I was listening to Joe Rogan's podcast. I love that bloke.
Bloody idiot. I said I went to petermillar.com/lights to find all of these Peter Millar favorites.
Sorry, I got bored halfway through your sentence and had a sleepy fart. I eat quite a bit of beans, you know.
I said Peter Millar, MILLAR.com/lights. That's petermillar.com/lights, Mr. Corden.
Oh my, so sorry, Mr. Woodcock, once more.
Peter Millar, MILLAR.
Oh my, so sorry, goodness gracious, me the stench, where are we going? Where are you taking me?
Thanks, James Corden, for helping us out with that in your guest appearance. Jeff and Troll haven't listened to the ad yet, so
Is he in it?
Yeah,
I'm just gonna say this. This is a really bad week for me. So I'm off. I apologize. Like, I just my head's spinning a million miles an hour. You guys had to excuse me.
I couldn't tell with you interrupting us via song multiple times in the first 40 minutes of this podcast.
He's just trapped. No. He's trapped in. All the doors are closed, and like the Bedissi fumes from his carpet are just like going up straight to his brain.
Like the smell of this other family that had been living in this house previously is just making me intoxicated.
But Peter Millar, petermillar.com/lights. They'll love this in their ad read. MILLAR.com/lights. Peter before that. The code does work. We had some issues last week. It works. We all ordered stuff off this. We got free stuff. Oh, too. Yeah. We still ordered stuff. How about that? Ordered stuff. Because we wanted to, because it's good stuff. And a lot of people ordered it as well because they tweeted at us. So go to that now. You'll get a free hat, complimentary shipping.
Yeah. And I mean, I look like crap always, and I wear Peter Millar and I look acceptable. So, you know, that's my endorsement. Is this my Artie Lang episode where I just go off the rails?
let's reel it back in because we have two reviews. We have two reviews, and then we're going to do an audience movie pitches, I guess. Audience movie pitches. That's what we call them. First up, though, Trill and Ken Jack, did we watch Netflix movies? I think we did. To All the Boys I Loved Before, the rom-com on Netflix. Major, major reviews here. Just people love it. I think it has like a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. It was pretty damn good. I was surprised. I kind of wish I didn't know anything about this movie before I saw it because I would have been even more surprised. Like, it didn't affect my score or anything. Gave it an 87. Audience score 92 and Rotten Tomatoes, 95 critic score. It's a great rom-com. It flows well. Great characters. All the kid acting is great. Fun story. Relatable high school story. I had a good time with this. I liked it a lot. The audience liked it, too. We don't have an audience vote up for it yet, but a lot of people tweeted us, say they liked it. We got to add Netflix movie on our votes. We haven't done that really. Haven't really added Netflix movies, but we're going to add To All the Boys I've Loved Before. I assume it'll be rated probably low 90s, high 80s for the audience. I gave it an 87, though. A lot of fun. Didn't like it as much as Crazy Rich Asians. Still liked it, though. What about you guys?
To All the Boys I give an 85. This is a really great coming of age film, and it's one of the better films on Netflix, I think. Crazy Rich Asians, I think I gave it a little bit higher of a score, but that's more in the rom-com territory. This does kind of both, so you're right. It is a rom-com, and it's also coming of age, I think. It's hard to classify it, but it is very charming. The main actress, and I wish I knew her name to give her credit, does a... What was that?
Lana Condor.
Well, she does a really, really good job. And the chemistry between her and the lead guy is really great. And that's what makes these kind of movies. So I enjoyed it. What about you, Ken Jack?
I agree. I definitely think it was a good blend of coming of age and romantic comedy. Crazy Rich Asians, like you said, way better romantic comedy on a whole. It's not really comparative in that sense. And I think especially for a Netflix movie, it's really blows the doors off of 90% of what they've made so far, especially on this year. It's really great. Lana Condor did an amazing job as Lara Jean. Noah Centineo, I think, played Peter Kaminsky, and he was serviceable as well. I think the younger sister, whose name I don't know, I thought was hilarious. And I always appreciate good child acting. Like teens, you know, you're more coming into it, but like if you're like basically a kid and you can pull off a good acting job, I super appreciate that. I think it was shot really well. You get a lot of vibes of almost like Wes Anderson-y symmetrical shots and tracking angles and zoom in, zoom outs and all that. And I enjoyed it a ton. I think it's definitely, if I had to pick out of all the Netflix movies that are out right now, I think it's the best technically made. And if it's a little formulaic of a story, but it's definitely one of the best technical movies Netflix has made in a really long time.
Yeah, it is. It is formulaic, I think, for sure. But it does look great. I think that's the other thing. It's a great looking movie. This is not a movie not that Netflix movies look like they're made from Netflix, but this movie is probably one of the more advanced in terms of just cinematography, the way it was shot, the way it looks. It's visually nice too, which helps out, which makes it better, elevates a simpler story. I was a big fan. Lana Condor, by the way, she's been in two major movies now, this one and X-Men Apocalypse. She was Jubilee. Yeah. No. And do you know one of the guys, Josh, Israel Broussard, do you know who he's from? One of your favorites, Ken Jack.
He's from being bad on Twitter and getting called out for it.
Okay. Besides that, you know,
oh, Happy Death Day.
Yeah. He's the boyfriend in Happy Death Day. Yeah.
Of course. Oh, he's the subway guy. That's right. Yeah. Oh, gross.
What happened on Twitter?
Stuff we won't talk about on the podcast, Joe Wellens.
He's got a Twitter people don't like. Okay. But also he was in Happy Death Day, which we do like. Well, not Ken Jack. Ken Jack fucking hates that movie.
By the way,
1 year anniversary of the podcast, the Happy Death Day episode's pretty funny. That's a good one to go back on. Anyway, continue, Trill.
I gotta say this. I love John Corbett. I just like the way John Corbett looks. He's comforting. Who do we say was comforting in a previous episode? He's another one of those comforting presences that anytime he appears on screen, I'm like, damn, that's John Corbett. And you know what? His character, Aiden on Sex and the City, would have been way better for Carrie than Mr. Big.
Yeah, Mr. Big sucked. Fuck Mr. Big.
He was an asshole.
Real piece of shit.
At my first internship, my boss called me Mr. Big. Just all summer.
That's even funnier with no context, too, if anybody doesn't understand.
Just call me Mr. Big. Yeah. John Corbett of My Big Fat Greek Wedding fame. Never really liked those movies.
That movie was a phenomenon.
Yeah. It was. There was a second one that came out not too long ago.
Yeah, but they missed the mark by about 15 years. They tried to recapture the original hysteria, and I think that was a fleeting moment in 2002. Couldn't get it back.
What does the dad do? Like, he loves Windex or something?
Yeah, Windex can cure. Windex can do all. Like, you spray it on your elbow and your elbow stops hurting or something like that.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah, I guess it's fine. I just wasn't ever a big fan. I mean, the sequel stunk. Did you know there was a TV show, right? You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Did that have Nia Vardalos too, or was it just like based on? Wow.
Oh, yeah. My Big Fat Greek Life aired on CBS, had 7 episodes. That was, you know what, now that we're talking about this, that's why there was no sequel, because they fucked up and made a TV show instead. That's a huge whiff. That's a big time swing and a miss. She was also in Curb Your Enthusiasm once. Yeah, she was his lawyer. She was Larry's lawyer. Very brief episode. Was she also in 2 and a Half Men? No, she wasn't. That's 2 girls, 2 guys and a girl. I thought that was 2 and a Half Men.
Oh, I thought you were going somewhere off of that after the first two letters or first two words there. Oh, I just said 2 girls and it was 2 guys and
Trill, is 2 and a Half Men your least favorite TV show?
Oh, I'm sure if you give me enough time, I can think of something I hate more. But from what springs to mind, 2 and a Half Men's really bad. It's bad show. It's way worse than Big Bang Theory. Also, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, 3rd movie Joey Fatone was in.
Yes.
We stand Joey Fatone.
Oh, yeah. We are huge Joey Fatone fans on the podcast.
I think I mentioned it before, but if you like Food Network, he was on a show called The Rewrapped, where they tried to recreate like packaged food, or not even that, like mainstream food you can buy, like Bloomin' Onions, Hostess Cupcakes. It was a ridiculous show, but if you like Joey Fatone, you like food, and you like Food Network, that's one to go for.
Is there a picture of him and Guy Fieri together? Yes.
Oh, wait, I gotta see this.
There is. Here, I gotta send it to you guys. They look like they belong, like, on the same couch watching a football game.
The picture's like 2 megapixels, but I get the point of it. It looks cool.
You get the point, right?
The picture you've sent is like, it's
not great.
Thumbnail.
I think there are more. I mean, because they're on the Food Network together. Yeah, there are way more pictures. That's a group of guys I'd love to hang out with. Joey Fatone and Guy Fieri and you guys.
It says
five of us.
I would love that. It says Guy's brother, Brutha, Joey Fatone from NSYNC is jumping in the kitchen on tomorrow's Guy's Big Bites to help make grilled Southwest lobster rolls and crispy yuca fries. Tune into Food Network at 11 a.m. on Sunday and check back here for recipes. That was posted on February 21st, 2015. One of the first comments on that post, Smash Mouth saying, "What's up, Joey?" or "What up, Joey?"
Yeah, we should hang out with the guy. Was it Steve Harwell from Smash Mouth and also Violent J from ICP, our letter rival?
Oh, yeah, that's true. We do have letter rivals.
Do you think Guy Fieri has ever worn the Oakleys that have the headphones in them?
Oh, probably. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think so, too. I think that's a safe bet.
I feel like he wears, you know, the Bluetooth headphones that have like the neck brace attached to them. That like you see, I don't know if you see him here in the city a lot. I do, Jeff.
Oh yeah, all the time.
The neck Bluetooth. First of all, I will never in my life fucking understand them. Do they cost like $2 or something? Because like you see people wearing them. Like, why are you not just wearing why do you not wear a $10 pair from anywhere else that doesn't require you wearing like this weird collar? Like, I don't get it.
It looks like it's like a fucking football neck roll for fullbacks and linebackers.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly right, and I don't get it. But I feel like Guy Fieri definitely wore one of those as well.
This post on Facebook has such perfect Facebook comments. Here are the comments. First off, Smash Mouth, "What up, Joey?" The next one is, "I think Guy Fieri and Ann Burrell should get married. Their kids would be spiky because of their hair." An older woman says, "Too crazy cook having a good time." Cook, singular. Another person said, "No offense, but I'm from Maine, and you seriously destroyed that lobster roll. Lobster, mayo, salt, and pepper to New England hot dog bun. That's it. Haha, good show." And the last one is, "Your brothers? Who knew? Not I." So somebody believed that Joey Fatone and Guy Fieri are brothers. Facebook is so pure in being trash. It's incredible.
Imagine being from Maine and seeing something like Southwest lobster roll and thinking they were going to make a traditional lobster roll. Like they gave that away right there in the title, man.
Anyway, what the fuck are we talking about?
We're talking about Two All the Boys.
You both talked over each other, so I still have no idea what we're talking about.
To All the Boys I've Loved.
Oh, yeah. What a fantastic movie. That's really all I got to say. I suggest you watch. If you like rom-coms are on a roll, even though I will say, some of the rom-coms on Netflix are not very good.
Very true. The setup wasn't bad.
Yeah, so this one's also a brisk 90 minutes or 95 minutes or something like that. So it is not much of a commitment. It's a good date night movie. It's a cute little flick. You get some good performances. Netflix could do much worse. I mean, this is an actual movie that but this is an actual good movie that would not have been out of place at a theater. Unlike the next movie that I kind of like.
Shut up. You did not. Oh, all right. We'll get to it.
I did.
I don't believe you. So we didn't just get into it. We all liked Kenjack. What'd you give it again? I wrote down your score as an 8, and I don't think that's what you gave it.
Oh, you're an 85, I think.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think that's what you said. Okay, 87 from me, 85 from Trio, 85 from Kenja. We don't have an audience score on this yet. We'll try to get one tomorrow and post it, or today if you're listening on August 6th.
Rebecca Ferguson joined Dune with Timothy Chalamet. That's a big get.
Wow. Denny Villeneuve doing Doom, which hopefully is good, because Dune has potential to be one of the better movies of the year it's released. I mean, Dune could be epic, but it could also be a major failure. But Denny Villeneuve's connected. Shit's going to be good. All right. To All the Boys I've Loved Before, big fans. We like that movie. Moving on to a movie that we were never, ever going to review. And that is a movie called The Package on Netflix. Until Trill mentioned it very briefly at the end of the pod last week. Kendrick, you were not very pleased we had to watch this movie. I heard you, I mean, you weren't like whining, but I heard you looking up and telling Devlin today how many times, like multiple times, that it was a shit movie, correct?
Yeah, it happened. I was watching it at work today. Just, it's bad. It's not very good. And Trill's going to pretend to like it because he's placating to the people. And I understand that, but it was not very good.
Oh, it is. Uh-oh. I'm being handed a baby.
Hi, baby girl. Can you get on the podcast? Can you get on the podcast and say some words?
Ba. She says no. She doesn't want to talk right now. Can you guys see her?
Yeah, she's perplexed by the screen. She's fixated.
Here, I'm trying to get her to talk. This is bad radio. This is real bad radio.
But if the baby talks, then it's good radio. The payoff is huge.
All right, I'm handing her back to mama. Daddy's got to talk about the package. Well, they said, are you here? Come here. Is that
actually a movie? Yeah, so the package is on Netflix. Have you watched The Package?
No.
Okay, well, it's not that good, but it's kind of good.
It's not good. Baby, you're a liar.
Is the baby talking now?
Bah.
No.
She doesn't want to talk.
Not a word. Does she not like the carpet smell?
I don't think she minds the smell of the house. It smells like other people. She's not used to that.
What are you for? we're just talking about when you move into a new house and it smells like other people. And you gotta invade that house with your own bodily odors to like cover it up.
You're so weird.
I know. I love you. Don't leave me.
Hey, can you talk about Derek a bit? Oh, don't pretend like you don't know who Derek is.
Don't know who Derek is.
She's acting coy right now. Derek's your boyfriend.
I don't have enough energy for like no. Boyfriend.
Like I'm talking about Derek being her boyfriend. She's holding my daughter. Or potentially Derek's daughter.
What would you say? That was horrible.
I love you.
Is this the first time in the history of Trill Ballins that we just got like a crossover of Twitter in your real life? Like
yes.
That's an iconic moment.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So thank you to Trill's wife and child for stopping by. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, from children to this movie, the plot of The Package on Netflix is the following. When a group of teenage friends go on a spring break camping trip, an unfortunate accident sets off a race against time to save their friend's penis. Jarell is laughing like a child, and Kendrick is just shaking his fucking head. This movie fucking stinks.
Bad.
This movie is so fucking stupid. And I bet you didn't even watch it. There's no way you watched it.
Did you really not watch it?
No.
Fuck you. Fuck you, dude. I knew you were fucking doing that.
I believed you saw it up until you started saying it was good.
I watched it. I'm getting the best of both worlds. Yeah, I actually watched it. I just wanted Ken Jack's reaction.
Not as bad as the whatever Mama's House 5 Halloween Boo 2.
Boo 2 and Medea Halloween.
God damn. For that still.
I'd give this movie about a 35.
Generous.
It wasn't very good, but also there were parts I did enjoy. I like Geraldine Viswanathan. I thought she was good in Cock Blockers, and I think she's good in this. Nobody else really stands out. They have a very workaholics type vibe, which originally made me think this movie was produced by them, but I found out it wasn't at all, which is weird because this feels like something they would have a hand in. Just like kind of the conversational back and forth they have with each other. It was there were parts that I thought were so ridiculous. They were pretty funny. The grosser parts where he cuts off his penis with a butterfly knife, and then the pee and blood is shooting everywhere in a mixed stream. It was a little over the top, but I thought that was funny. And then when they take the severed penis from the cooler into that guy who runs that store to have him clean it off, was I thought that was kind of funny too. Am I alone in this assessment? Do you guys think there's no redeemable qualities to this movie?
I'm going
to
sum it up, Kenjack. I hope I'm not like stealing your thunder here, because I feel like this is a line that you would repeat. There's a line in this movie where they say, there's a serious line where the character, well, not serious, it's a comedy, but it's a delivered line where a character looks at another character in a hospital and says, he's like, "Do you have a boner?" And the kid says, "No." He leans down and he farts. And then she said, "Did you fart?" And he goes, "No, it was the seat." And then he farts again. And she goes, "Do you have a boner and the farts at the same time?" That's the worst line of any movie I've heard this year. This is not the worst movie I've seen this year. Not even close. That's the worst line I've heard in a movie this year, hands down. And from We Have the Goskers, that's going to be nominated for worst line of the year. Do you have a boner and the farts at the same time?
Okay, we're not shitting on fart humor just yet. I know you guys haven't listened to my skit yet because that is a mainstay in the skit. But so let's not shit on fart humor, no pun intended. I thought there was definitely redeemable lines in it. I'm giving it 22, by the way. There's definitely redeemable like lines and points in it, but it's just it's these kids running around with a prosthetic penis, making like these like slapsticky and like trip over moments with it like nonstop. I did like the moment you have mentioned, Tro, with like the gun shop owner or whatever, where he cleans it off with like the soda machine. He's fucking sitting there cleaning off the severed dick for like 5 minutes. And then they sew it on to like Blake from Workaholics, is like severed penis accidentally. And there's definitely redeemable points, but just it's bad. It's not a good movie. And there's better comedies out there for you to watch, especially even Netflix ones.
I don't really have much more to say about it. But I will say this, actually. Let me backtrack on farts.
Oh, it was fart produced humor, by the Workaholics guys.
Humor is fine, but that line is not funny.
There's a lot of not funny
and
lines.
Who calls it the farts? Who says you have the farts?
This is a line in the fucking ad that you didn't listen to.
Oh, really?
Not really.
No.
Not really. I called it the sleepy farts.
That's different. Because that's the before a descriptive word. I know I'm breaking this down, but the word the fart is like how old people call things with the word the before it.
Yeah,
I went to the Walmart earlier. Like, it's just Walmart. It's just farts.
Where the rattlesnake bit the penis, and then the main character had to remove the venom from the penis?
Oh,
what do you guys think about that
from the severed dick? Didn't that happen though in an actual scene in a movie before? Like, I thought they stole that from some.
It felt derivative. It felt a little bit like something that'd
that
be like
happen in
Sean Michael Scott or Sean William Scott movie or whatever.
Yeah.
Does that happen in the Ridiculous Six?
I'm pretty sure that there is a point in another like shit comedy like this where somebody's penis gets bit and then another person needs to suck the venom out.
Oh, wait. Doesn't this happen in We're the Millers?
Maybe.
No, maybe not.
I heard Marilyn Manson got a rib removed in case a rattlesnake ever bit his penis and he had to suck the venom out.
Get a self-suck.
That's just what I heard.
This movie was initially called Eggplant Emoji.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Somebody sent The Office like a cooler with an eggplant in it. Like, not even joking. I think it was because like Francis did something with them. And I didn't understand it at first, but then fucking Devlin had explained it to me, and then I was like, oh, that's why we got that.
I mean, nothing against the kids because they're fine. The script just not a funny movie. Just not, it's bad comedy. Ben Stiller produced this movie.
Yeah. And I thought the Workaholics guys weren't involved, but then I just completely blanked on the fact that Blake Anderson was in it and they all produced it. Had a very strong Workaholics vibe, which I think was the part I liked about it. But then it's just not that, I don't know. Like, the laughs are kind of few and far between, and then it goes over the top a few times to the point where it's just like trying too hard.
Yeah.
oh, whatever. For a Netflix movie, it's still bad, but it's like maybe worth watching if you get like that bored. Like, I'd rather watch this than Insatiable or whatever crap like TV show they have on there.
Okay, that's the package. We don't have an extra skit here, just a heads up. Let's just pretend that your baby on the podcast was the second skit. It was an attempt at your baby to be the first baby podcaster in podcast history. That'd have been huge. You could have like made money off that.
Well, she technically did it before. She cried on the podcast before.
True.
And then, you know, I tried to set up the Derek joke for my wife and she didn't really run with it. She, kind of feel bad about, but you know, she knows I'm a freak, so
weirdo.
She did say you're weird, so yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean that's the foundation of our relationship.
Yeah, we got one more thing. We're gonna do audience movie pitches. We called out for them on Reddit. We didn't get a ton. A little disappointed in that. Step up the game. Step the game up. But the people who did send in movie pitches sent in some pretty elaborate ones. So here's what's gonna happen here. I haven't read any of these. Coley in the office today read them. None of us have read them. And he gave quick, short reviews on them. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the author name on Reddit, and then I'm going to read Coley's review, and then we're going to read the actual movie pitch, all right? And then we're going to rate it, and if we'd pick it up. Sound good? Here we go. Stuma113. Coley's review, Ken Jack will like it. So,
oh God,
are you? You got to be intrigued off the bat, right? All right. The movie title is called Link in Bio. The director is Jordan Peele. Actors: Jason Segel, Anna Kendrick, Paul Rudd, Jim Parsons. Does the Jim Parsons thing turn you off a bit?
Yes. Unless he's like the butt of the joke or something.
All right. Here we go. About a guy, played by Jason Segel, who has a successful, funny, anonymous Twitter account, and everything is going great with his life and with his girlfriend, Anna Kendrick, but then his identity gets out, and he starts getting all the pressure from a social media expert, Jim Parsons, to make money but doesn't know what to do. Drama and hilarity ensues. At the end, he just ends up making an app that acts as a liaison between men and women for feet pics called Toastagram and lives a happy life after selling it. His best friend is played by Paul Rudd. Also, if no one likes this, then it was all a joke and I wasn't serious.
A Toastagram sounds like a Instagram dedicated to toast, not to toes.
So probably workshop that one.
Yeah, definitely workshop that fake app name.
This hits a little too close to home. It sounds like a horror movie for me.
Yeah, it does.
So is that the Jordan Peele aspect of the movie where all of a sudden this like dumpy 34-year-old guy gets associated with making dick jokes about a talking cat from a movie musical called Cats on a podcast? I don't know. It's not up to me. But the feet pick part of it sounds great. Who wouldn't want that?
Yeah.
Toastagram.
So what would you not even rate it? Would you pick this movie up or would you not pick this movie up?
I'm gonna pick it up just so I can cancel it. So the story never gets out about this disgraced social media Twitter account who gets exposed for loving feet, which is completely ridiculous.
Based
idea.
In fiction.
The next one is by Spartan Dog 97. Coley says movie should probably
me and Troll laughed at the exact same. Sorry.
It's just Spartan Dog. It just sounds like
it's probably like an MSU fan or something, but like I think of it as like a 300 super fan that also likes dogs.
Yes. I just say like somebody who just like Googles like the 300 ab workout does it daily.
Holy says this movie should actually be made. Director Quentin Tarantino, cast Samuel Jackson, Margot Robbie, Miles Teller, O.J. Simpson. It's called Juiced. O.J. Simpson, playing himself, finds a time-traveling glove and goes back to the fateful night in 1994. Hold on. And attempts to find the real killer with his younger self, played by Sam Jackson, when, plot twist, it's actually the older O.J. that actually did it. I like that a lot.
I like that.
Yes.
I like that. That guy should be a screenwriter.
What a cast. I don't know if Tarantino would be the best for this movie.
Juice.
But I like it. Yeah, get David Schwimmer in here and just have him do it.
Yeah,
too.
Except it would be a different spelling.
A great movie.
Yeah, I like it. Somebody commented, said inappropriate, and I would be enthralled to watch it. I mean, yeah, it's inappropriate. That's a fantastic fucking movie concept.
It's just Looper with OJ in it.
That's really what it is. I like that one. I think across the board are picking that up, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, next one. Coley's comment kind of spoils it, so I'll read it off. Directed by Michael Bay, starring Tom Cruise, Adam Driver, Keanu Reeves, and The Rock. A down-on-his-luck bus driver, Adam Driver, has his son go missing. Right at the time, weird things begin happening in a small town in New Mexico. Awful weather, street signs, changing names, disappearances. I think you can begin to figure out what this is about. Distraught, Driver searches in his bus hopelessly through the desert looking for his son until he comes across a strange group who look like lost hikers, but who are all wearing parachutes. Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise, The Rock. He offers the group a ride back into town as a storm is rapidly approaching on the condition they help keep an eye out for his son. They accept, but right as Driver begins the journey back, a flash of lightning strikes the bus, and our squad suddenly finds themselves floating high above a distant island. As Driver stares in shock out of the front of the bus, the collective leaves, walks up to him, puts his hand on his shoulder, and asks, so where are we dropping? It's a Fortnite movie.
Yeah. It's not a bad idea, except the Fortnite movie would definitely not have any good actors in it.
No, for sure. That's the one flaw with this. This is not bad. And somebody did comment with a great thought. I tried hard to think of a Fortnite movie. This is pretty good. That's pretty damn good for the fact that a Fortnite movie would probably be terrible.
Did you ever see the movie Predators with Adrian Brody? That's literally what happens. They get dropped onto a planet after getting abducted, and the Predators just literally drop them in there and then close in on them, killing them one by one. So that's basically already been made.
Hunger Games 2. Battle Royale. I think this is, to make an interesting Fortnite movie, you'd have to do an origin story like this about, like, you know, why people are eternally going onto the island to battle it out with each other, which I actually think is explained by the Save the World campaign version of it, that the Battle Royale is just a training ground for actually saving the world, but nobody plays Save the World, so fuck that.
This one, Coley says, I would green light this one. All right. That's big. This one is called Cuban Muscle Crisis. Director Michael Bay again. All right. Let's get Michael Bay to not do every movie on here. Starring The Rock, Jason Statham, Anne Hathaway, Pedro Pascal, Michael Pena, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Plot, President JFK, played by The Rock, and Vice President Lyndon B. Johnson, played by Jason Statham. This is just Hobbs and Shaw. Take the matter of national security into their own fists when the Russian premier Van Damme places missiles into Cuba on the behalf of Castro, Pascal. Jackie Kennedy, played by Anne Hathaway, keeps JFK in her heart while he's ripping the hearts out of American enemies. Lots of explosions. JFK and Khrushchev go toe-to-toe in an action sequence for the ages on Cuban soil. Meanwhile, LBJ is leading a CIA team to take out Castro, and with an all-out gunfight in Castro's extravagant palace. Eventually, LBJ flies JFK over the missile midair and pulls out the navigation chip. The missile falls into the Atlantic. What do we think about this one? Cuban Muscle Crisis. No,
that's my take.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not the plot where it loses me. I just don't really care about, like, the subject matter, you know? Like, you craft something interesting about Castro, I don't really give a shit about him. Let that be known.
All right. Wait, did we greenlight the Fortnite movie? I think we did.
Let's say yes.
I'm going to greenlight it. Okay, so Drip732, you did not get greenlit with your Cuban Muscle Crisis.
I love the names. I'm sorry, Drip. Like,
okay, well, you're ready for a good name.
Every screen name is funny when you read it out loud. I'm very convinced.
There's some good ones. Here we go. Next up, Pork Rind 69. he says, I swear to God.
Yeah, but look, that's funny, but that's not as funny as, like,
Spartan.
Balls,
dog.
Vols fan 1993. Like that's funnier to me because it's so earnest. Okay, go ahead.
Coley says zero effort or creativity in this one. And there is no creativity, I can tell already. Highlander remake. The director of John Wick, Chad Stahelski or Stahelski. Actors Gerard Butler. He says basically take the plot of Highlander, but give it good actors and better writing.
Oh, are we shitting on Christopher Lambert and fucking our guy? I already forgot his name. Who plays the Krogan, Clancy Brown. And Sean Connery. Those are three good actors. What is this guy talking about?
No creativity. I'm not greenlighting this.
All right. You know what the funny thing is? I was going to greenlight this because I love Highlander and love that, like, all the actors associated. When he shit on the actors and said put good actors in it, fuck you, dude. This movie is not getting greenlit.
I'm going to greenlight this just because I think Highlander probably is due for a reboot or remake or whatever. It's about time. I'm surprised we haven't got that.
I have the final vote here. I'm not going to green light it. I'm sorry. The creativity just lacks. Thank you for posting, though.
It's not about the creativity of the concept. I'm this guy's business or this gal's business sense, whatever the name was, Pork Ryan 69. Yeah, Pork Ryan 69. I think they're identifying an opportunity in the market to come with a Highlander movie. So we'll give him a cut, but maybe in the future, just like come up with better plots, like actual plots.
So far we have greenlit two movies. Next up, Texter Morgan, movie Entourage 2049, The Search for Lloyd. Wait, what?
That's just creative. I just like that name.
Okay. Director Spike Jonze, starring Jeremy Piven, co-starring Johnny Drama's old black Lincoln Continental convertible, voiced by Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh, God.
Year is 2049. Vinny Chase got back with Sasha Gray, got addicted to cocaine again, and has passed away. This sends Ari into a tailspin, resulting in him losing his drive and passion. His wife and son leave him. He loses his fortune and his business. The only token remaining from his past is the old black convertible that Johnny Drama gifted to him in his will. Though the car is obviously not sentient, Ari's loneliness leads him to talking to the fuzzy dice hanging from the rearview mirror. Together, Ari, the dice, and the car drive across America searching for Lloyd, the only remaining person that loves Ari unconditionally. Coley called this big trash.
I don't disagree.
I think it is.
This is too deep for an Entourage movie.
Like
You've got way too much character development and too much sentimentality and too much emotion. I'm going to have to pass. Give me an Entourage movie that's just them, like, you know, listening to Jane's Addiction and having Turtle talk about wearing Jordans and E being neurotic. That's fine with me.
Update the female lead, too. Sasha Gray's like doing her own thing now. She's in Mission Impossible Fallout. Like, update it to somebody new.
Like who'd be the Sasha Gray of like 2018?
Oh fuck, like Mia Malkova or something.
Hold on, what was that name again?
Mia. I actually muted myself when I said it.
All right,
look, I monitor the top charts. Okay, I see who's in the number one charts every now and then.
No, I mean I'm just doing research just to.
Okay, I want to get through.
My family didn't believe me. My wife didn't believe me.
I want to get through a few more. All right, Billy the Butcher. Coley said far too serious, not funny at all. Would probably win awards. Billy the Butcher, 45, also said that didn't see it was supposed to be funny, but whatever. He left a really good script in here called Trench Wolf. Location London, 1940, Battle of Britain. Steven Soderbergh's in it, are directing it. Clive Owen, Taron Egerton. A serial killer is on the loose using the nightly bombing attacks as cover. Kane, who is played by Clive Owen, teams up with Edgerton's character to try and hunt down this trench wolf, a term for wild dogs that would eat the dead of no man's land that William picked up in his time for France. Sounds like an intense fucking movie. That you finally track down the killer, who is shell-shocked veteran, much like Kane. Sounds really deep and serious. I'm going to say green light just because they got very creative here and they put an effort on a real movie and then self-owned themselves by saying that they didn't know it was supposed to be funny. Is that fair?
Yeah, I would green light it. It'd be funny if like if it's during the Battle of Britain, they go to hunt down the creator of V2 rockets that are just killing thousands and thousands of British civilians every single day, and it's Wernher von Braun, and then they alter the timeline and we never get to the moon.
I like this movie.
Yeah, I'm into this one. I like it. I know it's not funny, and you admitted that, but that's why I'm saying it's fine. All right, next one. Coley says, takes a wild turn, but not bad. All right, let's read it. BSS231. Movie's called Monkeying Around. Another Michael Bay movie. What the fuck? Actor Nick Cage and Jennifer Lawrence. Actor Brendan Fraser's also in it. So they're tugging at Trill's heartstrings. Nicholas Cage is a big time detective who starts drinking heavily when his partner, played by Brendan Fraser, is killed trying to catch domestic terrorist, played by Jennifer Lawrence. So Brendan Fraser's killed in this movie. That may hurt your chances.
Oh.
He's in for the surprise of his life when a talking baboon shows up at his door late one night.
He didn't even have a hair on it.
No hair on his prick.
And it's just Brendan Fraser reincarnated as a baboon. Together they must stop Jennifer Lawrence before she blows up the World Cup. Wow. It really does take a turn at the end. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm going to pass on this one just to discourage submissions where Brendan Fraser's killed off.
It's like sudden death almost. And I'm also saying no because I don't want Brendan Fraser to die.
Well, Brendan Fraser's not actually going to die, but
I don't want his character to die. I don't want to see him die in any sense, fictional or otherwise.
Yeah, because we're working tirelessly to get him screen time. And anytime his character's killed off, you're reducing his screen time.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We'll do two more here. I'm going to read another bad one. There's other ones. Okay. If we haven't read yours, we will read it next time we do this. All right. Coley says this one is just putrid. The movie is called Together in Spirit, directed by Judd Apatow, starring Michael Cera and Aubrey Plaza. A young boy who can communicate with the dead meets a young girl with psychic and future reading abilities during a television production of a reality show featuring children with paranormal abilities. The boy asks out the girl, but the girl denies him, claiming that they will be happy for a few years, but he will ultimately develop their feelings for another girl. Fast forward 20 years, and Michael Cera reconnects with Aubrey Plaza by a chance meeting. The boy tries to rekindle things with the girl, claiming that everyone she saw in their future didn't happen. Everything that she saw in their future didn't happen because they weren't dating. This is killing me. While trying to spark things with the girl, the boy's recent ex, who doesn't have any paranormal abilities, tries to reconcile with the boy. All this is happening while the boy is trying to ignore and pass.
I don't know what's happening anymore.
I'm sorry, the
boy and the girl and the ex and the boy and boy.
None of these people even got a pube on their prick.
Here you go, Mr. Gotti. We're giving you some of ours.
I don't know.
I like the general idea of like a paranormal stuff, but I didn't know what was going on by the time Jeff got to the ex. I was like, the boy, the girl, and the boy.
I probably didn't do it justice. I'm sure if you explain that out, that would sound somewhat, I'll be honest, it wouldn't sound bad. At Home Superstar. I'm sorry. I don't like making fun of you guys.
Girls who like boys, who like girls, who like boys.
The only people who stink are the people who didn't submit movie ideas. So any of you who did this, you're a fucking winner in our book. One more movie and then one question we're going to answer because we didn't do a skit. This is from Chuck D 2469. It's directed by Ryan Gosling. Actors Michael Cera and Benicio Del Toro. Supporting actor Tom Hanks as Sully Sullenberger. And James Corden as Bustaferio Delgado. A struggling podcaster named Jeff is in a real funk. So he decides to travel to Mexico to clear his head and spark his creativity. While sightseeing and traveling in between cities in Mexico, he boards a small plane and sits next to a mysterious-looking businessman. The plane hits a bird, and Jeff ends up saving the mysterious man's life in the crash. The man, Benicio del Toro, introduces himself as Alejandro, and the two form an unlikely friendship, fighting their way back to civilization. Jeff starts secretly recording their conversations with the intention of making a groundbreaking podcast about their adventure. As Jeff slowly unravels the life story of Alejandro, he realizes he is in way over his head as he gets wrapped up in a hitman mission for the Medellin cartel.
You ever watch Narcos?
Medellin.
Is it really? Cartel. Yeah.
Never watched it. Wouldn't know.
I didn't care.
Nah, I don't watch TV.
Yeah, you know, I watched Entourage, so I'm cultured and know words like Medellin.
Oh, the movie. Yeah, that's right. That was Vinny Chase's signature movie.
Alejandro kills his target, played by James Corden, but discovers Jeff has been recording their conversations in a dramatic climax. Here we go. This is what I kind of figured would happen. In a dramatic climactic standoff, Jeff is faced with a life or death decision. Should he release the pod?
Yep.
It's also called Sicario 3. I can't speak Spanish. Liberar el pod Jeff. So that's pretty good. That's a super inside Reddit joke, by the way. If you're not on our Reddit, you may not get that one. But I'm not going to explain it because you need to join our Reddit if you're not already there. We're going to do more questions, but one I have to ask. It's a hypothetical. If you were paid $1,000 to eat every piece. Actually, you know what? Don't even think about the money. It's whatever money you would accept. If you were paid like a certain amount of money to eat every piece of one board game, what board game would you eat? That's a really fucking hard question. Ridiculous, illogical, absurd. Great question.
Is Uno a board game or is that a card game?
I think we're a card game.
Yeah, it's a card game. It's got to have a board.
Ooh.
I mean, you got to knock a few things off.
Like Scrabble,
you can't eat
tough.
Scrabble's not bad.
I think Scrabble would be pretty easy, right? Because the pieces are small enough. Mahjong? Mahjong, all the balls are yellow.
Yeah.
Are the balls spherical?
Scrabble, you'd have to eat the wood holsters for the letters.
That'd be tough. Yeah,
I mean, you need the bag.
Can you boil it down? Can you alter anything, or do you have to like just go with what you have on hand, like your teeth?
No, it doesn't say that, so I'm gonna assume no. I think the one that you definitely can't eat is what they call Mousetrap. That has a ton of pieces.
Yeah,
be gnawing on that for a while.
What about cribbage?
Cribbage?
Yeah,
I wonder what cribbage looks like.
Pretty small cribbage. Board game.
Yeah, the pegs. You could swallow the pegs right now and have no issue. But then you got to gnaw through the whole cribbage board.
Yeah, it's like a.
I think Operation would be one of the toughest to eat. You got to take down the plastic Operation guy or Hungry Hippos. Anything with a plastic foundation is going to be tough.
Fuck! What's that one game with like? It's not Guess Who. It's like that though. Hold on, I'll just look it up.
What about Chinese checkers? Those little balls? I feel like you could swallow those like pills, or would they get lodged in your throat and you die?
I don't know.
Wait, which game?
Chinese checkers.
I think that's manageable. What about Risk?
Risk isn't bad. Risk? Monopoly's not that bad either.
You got to swallow the pieces. Like once you swallow the pieces whole, the metal pieces, You're in the clear. All you gotta do is just gnaw on some paper.
Risk is all plastic, as far as I know of. I don't think I ever played with metal pieces.
What about Chutes and Ladders?
Chutes and Ladders.
Do you need one of the hardest
would. Well, that's all you eat is the board because, like, the piece is like a little plastic. The plastic Chutes and Ladder pieces would be tough to eat. The board that's a pretty thin board.
Settlers of Catan would be tough to eat too because of the jagged shape of the settlements and the houses.
Poons of Dunshire.
Pulling that out. Yeah.
Who would be pretty hard to eat?
I'm thinking Monopoly might be one of the easiest.
No, but it's the metal pieces. That's the bad.
But I can swallow that shit.
Yeah,
my stomach acid.
you think risk or something, you eat a bunch of plastic or whatever, it's not going to kill you probably. The metal will probably shred up your intestines from Monopoly.
Also, I will say this, though. The dice are not going to be easy to eat either.
Oh, the yeah. Dice,
but the paper money is like, you could eat 10 pieces of paper money at once. And that stuff's I would so eat thin.
Paper money sounds good to me right now.
I think Chutes and Ladder and Candyland are actually two of the best ones. There's no die. It's only four plastic pieces each, and it's either cards and then that one wheel in Chutes and Ladder. Actually, Chutes and Ladders is probably the easiest because all it is a wheel, or there's many cards for Candyland. Chutes and Ladder, it's a paper wheel, a paper board, and then four little pieces. You break them up in little slivers.
What about this hypothetical? You're at a party, and somebody brings in Cards Against Humanity, and you have to either eat the whole Cards Against Humanity set or play Cards Against Humanity. What do you do?
I think you eat the fucking cards. Just give up.
Do you remember 2012 when like people would post their Cards Against Humanity combinations?
Oh yeah.
I'm being bad.
That was my friends on Facebook to a T in that time period.
What would be the worst board game to eat, though? I think Trouble would be pretty bad because Trouble's got that big bubble in the middle, right?
Yeah.
Operation would be bad.
Well, you only need to eat the tiny bones, but then, like, I guess the tweezers would be tough, right?
No, you gotta eat the whole, like, plastic casing of the operation guy.
Wait, so that's canon that we have to eat the board?
Yes. Oh, ew, you have to eat the whole fucking thing.
You gotta eat the whole thing, except for maybe the packaging.
Didn't you say Chutes and Ladders, though? Because you ended up picking, I think, the best one.
Yeah,
I think Chutes and Ladders. Yeah, whoever's the Chutes and Ladders, I think that's the easiest one.
Cribbage,
life
man.
Life would be pretty tough because that damn spinner would be hard to take down.
Oh, right, yeah, life has a lot of plastic stuff in the middle. I think Mousetrap's one of the worst as well, though. That's a lot of plastic you have to house. Just eat a lot of plastic.
I think of like what would be worse than that. Dungeons and Dragons, you have that big ass board with like the list that the Game Master has or whatever, the Dungeon Master. Game Master Anthony. I'm hanging out with Sonic right now. R.I.P. in peace, wherever you are.
What about Crossfire?
I don't think I ever played that. Let me look it up.
Anything with a really steady plastic base would be tough for me to break apart and chew. I'd rather go for something that has swallowable plastic pieces and paper that I can just put around my gross mouth and have my saliva dissolve it like a fucking snake venom dissolving flesh on a rat.
I'm sending one to our group. It's a big mat with like fake poop and a spinner wheel. It's called Don't Step in It.
It's like a huge damn mat.
What's the game where you Twister? Can you eat Twister?
That's not a board game, right?
Kind of is.
Yeah, that is tough. But I guess we're thinking desktop board games. Some are the coffee table board games. What are some other ones? Connect 4 would be very hard to eat.
Oh, man. Ugh. Imagine a Connect 4 turd. Just those ribbed circles just working their way out your butthole.
Oh, no. Woo! Sorry would be very tough, too. Because aren't some Sorry board games are like, it's like metal pieces. What's the thing with just Trivial Pursuit?
That's just cards. That's easy.
It's a lot of there's like in the small little like pie pieces. That's not bad.
Fuck. What's the game where you they have the buzzer and you have to like guess the other person? It's not Trivial Pursuit. Shit. Fuck. All right, hold on, I gotta look it up.
I think, man, I don't know. Perfection. That might be the worst one. Perfection's a big, it's a metal fucking box or plastic box, and it has all those jagged pieces that you're trying to fit into the center of it.
Taboo is what I was thinking of.
What about the game at Cracker Barrel with the big wooden block and the golf tees?
have you ever beaten one of those?
No, I think I've gotten to like three pegs, and that's the best thing I've done.
I've never played that game. I've also gotten the three pegs before, though.
What the fuck is that game called? It's just called Cracking the Cracker Barrel Game. What? No, there's got to be a name for that. Did Cracker Barrel invent that? The peg game. Wow. Peg board game. Did they invent that? That's for a discussion for a different time. All right. Any last board games before we wrap this up?
The thing about the Cracker Barrel game is I don't want to know how to beat it because I feel like as soon as you know, like, it ruins the game for you. Like, yeah. You can memorize the moves you need to take. It's done. Like, every game would be the same.
Mystery's gone.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Is there an app? That could be a good app we could make. If we can make that game in an app, maybe
I would be Cracker Barrel. I would be shocked if there wasn't an app already.
We could call it like old person game.
I feel like if you think that you're the first to invent something, you're more than likely not. Like, unfortunately. Well,
so you know how you get deodorant? Well, I was thinking something the other day. It's like, what if you get deodorant that also prevents you from sweating?
Wow.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're running out of steam.
I thought you were going to say friends from shitting.
It's been a rough week for me, guys. I need to get some rest this weekend. I'm going to go see some movies I need to desperately catch up on. I apologize to everyone, but once we get that, we'll get back on a roll. I'll get some rest. I'm delirious right now. This is my Artie Lang episode. I got it back on track for the last back half.
What are you going to see, though? What movies are you going to see?
Probably Black Klansman. I think that's all right. I think that's the one the audience wants us to talk about the most.
Yeah, so we will review that. We should get to this part next week. I'll do a little quick refresh of what we're going to see in the next 2 or 3 weeks, and then we're going to wrap this up. Next week we're going to be reviewing The Nun. Can't wait for that. So that we'll review The Nun. It's got 50% of Rotten Tomatoes. That just debuted like an hour ago, and then The Predator after that. Followed by Life Itself or White Boy Rick, but I think we'll probably at that week review Black Klansman in 8th grade because I think by then Troll have seen it, and that wraps up September. And then October is going to be a fucking hell of a month. Venom, A Star Is Born, First Man, Bad Times at the El Royale, and Halloween. That's a banger 3 weeks right there. That's going to be fucking awesome. So that's it. Last comments, last thoughts.
I'm excited for Star Is Born because a reviewer I trust that saw Star Is Born said it might win all 5 major categories in the Oscars or at least be nominated, which is sick.
That would be pretty cool. Those are going to be quite the story. We got some guests there too. Jared Krabs coming on for Halloween. Mr. Sunday Movies coming on for Venom and A Star Is Born. I don't know if he knows that he's coming on for A Star Is Born yet, but I know he wants to see it. So that's that. That wraps it up. Happy birthday to us. 1 year. Thanks for listening. If you listened to us since last year, we really appreciate it. Couldn't be where we are right now without you. So, yeah, happy birthday to us. And thanks again for Troll Bonds and Ken Jack. I'm Jeff Lowe. We will talk to you on Sunday.
Have a good week at the box office. Somebody new. I'm trying, but I can't.